Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, Empire's one thing, but Downton Abbey fans, this Sunday night marks the beginning of the end.
We have had our moments, haven't we, milady?
We certainly have.
I'm not marrying anyone else. What would I do without you?
We must mark this moment.
It's been such a long road. Can this really be the end of it?
Everyone take a glass. I propose a toast.
The final season of Downton Abbey premieres on PBS this Sunday night. The ratings monster, dressed up as the upstairs-downstairs story of the Crawley family, began with the sinking of the Titanic, slogged through the mud of World War I, and has now landed squarely in the jazz age. Will Edith find happiness? Will Carson and Mrs. Hughes get married? Does Branson make a new life in Boston? We'll find out. But we can tell you this. Downton Abbey is PBS's highest rated drama of all time. But it almost never made it to American television, because the very first time Masterpiece executive producer Rebecca Eaton read the Downton pilot, she gave it a pass.
No executive in American television recognized its worth or thought it was important to do. Until Downton, there was a kind of an allergy to anything with British accents. So it came around again, and I heard that Maggie Smith had been cast, and she is one of my very favorite actresses. So I scrambled and discovered it was still available and did the deal.
Downton Abbey has reinvigorated and transformed Masterpiece, a broadcasting cultural icon that's been bringing British drama to American homes for more than 40 years. Rebecca Eaton became the show's executive producer in 1985. The Downton near miss is just one of the dozens of delightful stories she shares in her memoir entitled Making Masterpiece, 25 Years Behind the Scenes at Masterpiece Theater and Mystery on PBS. We spoke with Eaton back in 2013, and she told us then that working on Masterpiece was a natural fit for her because of her love of English literature, a love that dates back to the 1960s.
I had gone to Vassar College. I was a huge Anglophile bookworm. The affinity that I've always had for the literature, even as a little girl growing up in California, wishing it would rain so it would look more like England.
Well, you write, very interestingly in the book about how you also got a firsthand exposure to the British class system and the life which is so often reflected in, you know, current Masterpiece dramas. Mm-hmm. Like, you went to old country houses with the landed gentry.
I did make friends. People were very kind to me when I was there and would invite me to come down for the weekend. And I would go down for the weekend and be served sherry and scotch and champagne. And I was pretty much drunk the whole time. These beautiful houses. But the Vietnam War was on.
Yeah.
And I had protested the war, even though my brother was in the Navy and he was in Vietnam. And after a couple of glasses of sherry at one of these Sunday lunches, when some rather snooty Englishwoman was sort of demeaning all aspects of America, the dirty hippies and the soldiers who couldn't win, I just let it rip and felt my red, white, and blue origins, and felt that was the first time I realized my Anglophilia was definitely a hobby, but wasn't me.
Well, there's just so much great drama to discuss here with you, Rebecca. But I actually wanted to start with one that predates your time at Masterpiece. And this is from the original Upstairs Downstairs, the mega hit in the 1970s. This is actually from the first episode of Upstairs Downstairs.
Good heavens.
Yeah, indeed. I did my homework, I told you. And we're going to hear a little bit from a character named Sarah Moffat, who's a parlor maid. Mm-hmm. It's not her actual name, as we find out. It's the name that the Bellamys, who own this big house in London, have decided they will call her. And Sarah's played by Pauline Collins. And here's the scene where she is introduced to the other members of the staff downstairs.
Mr. Hudson's addressing you, Sarah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just that the name's so unfamiliar. Couldn't I be called Clemence if only down here?
Oh, my days, I've never heard of such a name below stairs. Whatever was your mother thinking of?
Search the good book from cover to cover and not find that name.
Lady Marjorie's wishes must be respected.
Clemence. Good name for a filly, I'll say that.
Fantastic.
Oh, those voices. Jean Marsh, who played Rose, and she created it, and Gordon Jackson, who played Mr. Udson.
I'm looking at your face. You're just beaming
wonderful,
right now.
Wonderful.
What
we found that.
What gets me about that, though, is this is in the 1970s, and Jean Marsh, in your book, you write that she had wanted to create Upstairs, Downstairs in response to the Forsytes, because there was no...
Downstairs.
There was no downstairs in the Forsytes.
Yeah, and that's the same with Downton, although Downton, of course, has the Abbey. I mean, Upstairs, Downstairs was all done in a studio. Those rooms were built sets. Upstairs, Downstairs is definitely the progenitor of Downton Abbey. And Julian Fellowes, who created Downton, would say that.
Do you have a great story that people haven't heard of from behind the scenes at Downton?
A great story behind the scenes. So much of what happens behind the scenes is off limits to talk about. There has been the first year, everybody was just making a TV show. It looked like it would be good, but maybe, you know, just a mini series. And the second year, paparazzi were coming over the walls and the actors were stalked right and left. And I love remembering the first time the cast came over, just to see them in this country, just having the time of their lives. That was all in the early days. Now, literally, we have to get them from the airport into the hotel, up to their rooms, because they'll be mobbed.
Register them under fake names,
yes,
I hear. Well, finally, I just want to circle back a little bit to where we started, with Upstairs, Downstairs. Because, you know, given that you've been executive producer of Masterpiece, and as we talked about earlier, you know, a self-confessed Anglophile, why do you think that such an appetite in the United States persists for that sort of Edwardian period costume drama?
Well, as I said, I think it was very clear who you were supposed to be then. And, of course, this is slightly romanticized. It was a lot harder to be downstairs than it looks in Downton. But I think what draws people to Downton is the sense of community that they have. The upstairs can't exist without the downstairs without the upstairs. And the way Julian has written it with a tremendous amount of heart, these people are trying to do the right thing. And that's a perfect world. And I think that's often why we watch television.
Rebecca Eaton is executive producer of Masterpiece. We spoke with her in 2013 about her memoir, Making Masterpiece, 25 Years Behind the Scenes at Masterpiece Theater and Mystery on PBS. The final season of Downton Abbey premieres this Sunday night on PBS. Get your popcorn and your fancy dresses out and sit... And tune in. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Radio Boston.